Well, I believe in the supernatural. And I'm going to go back, but I'm going to start at this point where I was in going from San Luis Obispo to Sacramento, my hometown. And if you've ever been in the fog around Stockton, that's really low, tule fog where it's so thick and scary. And this one evening, it was so thick that I couldn't see the white line. I couldn't see the hood of my car. It was just, couldn't see anything. And it was really scary. You couldn't see the light, headlight, back tail light in front of you. And you don't want to go too fast because you'll hit them. And you don't go too slow because you'll get rear-ended. So it was a really scary trip for, that's a good 40 minutes, but I think it was probably an hour. Well, longer, it's normally 40 minutes in good weather. So it was a long, 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 slow, arduous trip. And when I got to my mom's house where we were going to have, I think it was Christmas dinner, my son threw his arms around me and said how happy he was because they were all concerned. Well, that wasn't the case, say, 3 years prior. When I got divorced, it really hit my son hard. And I thought 13 was a good age to get divorced. And that's the worst because they're just coming in to their identity or learning about themselves and very insecure. And that's the worst time to get a divorce. And he lived with me. I had custody. But then after a while, after a couple of years, he wanted to go live with his dad. And his dad was really a good guy, not into anything bad. And so I thought Steve would be perfectly safe there. And I didn't know that his dad never came home at night quite often. And when you go from loving security and boundaries to no control or concern, that's really harmful. And so he kind of went, he had a wild, crazy phase, and he got, he became an alcoholic. He was on drugs and even suicidal. And there was a lot of prayer on my, from me going up, and he made three serious suicide attempts. And they weren't fake ones where they weren't cries for help. Only God kept him alive. One time he stuck his head in the stove and turned the gas on, and nobody was home. His roommate was going to come home for 3 days, and nobody was supposed to find him. But my daughter, who never visits him, went there, and I think she smelled the gas and had someone break the window. So that was one attempt. Another attempt, he wanted to overdose, and he just went into the streets. And they found him unconscious and barefoot. I don't know where when he lost his shoes and socks. And it's so terrible. In that city, when they took him into the clinic, and they just checked him over, and they said, you can go now. And if you're suicidal and you don't have a friend to call and no place to go, you just want to do it all over again. But fortunately, his boss was there and took he called his boss, and the boss was concerned and took him home. And then the third attempt, he loved this car that he had. He saved a long time to get it. And he was in a rainstorm, and he wasn't drinking. He wasn't on drugs that time, but he started to skid, and he was headed for this tree. And he loved this car, and he thought, if I total this car, I don't want to live. You know, it's kind of unstable thinking, but that's how he was at that point. So he stepped on the gas to kill himself and crashed into the tree, totaled his car. And the highway patrolman thought surely nobody'd be alive, and they were shocked. Steve didn't have just a few scratches, and he was fine. But at one point, because he was so rebellious at this time, he would get an angry fits, like. So we were going to meet at my mom's for Christmas dinner. And a little bit before we went, some people call it a vision, some people call it, I call it a picture. I was praying for him, and I saw a picture of Steve throwing his arms around me saying, "I love you." So then that was good to hang on to, because when I went to Sacramento, we sat down for dinner, and Steve wasn't there, and we were eating our salad, and the doorbell rang, and I was really happy it was Steve, I thought. So my mom and I went to the door, and he hugged my mom, and I reached forward to hug him, and this voice came out of him that wasn't Steve's voice. It was this horrible, low growl, like, he says, "Don't come near me. Don't touch me." And I recoiled, and I tried really hard not to cry. So I was holding my tears back in, just feeling really awful. And we went into dinner, and we sat down and continued with the salad. And he said, "Can I see you in the next room?" And I nodded my head, and I was really praying, like, "God, give me wisdom. Show me what to say. Help me." And so we went into the other room. He threw his arms around me, and he hugged me. And he said, "I love you, Mom. Why did I act like that? Why did I say that? I love you." And that's the first time I was able to tell him that he understood and believed me. I said, "Steve, there's good and evil. There's actually an entity inside of you, and God wants to kick it out." And so that was the first recognition of his that there really is a spiritual warfare over his life. Well, I won't go into details, but a while later, he got set free. And he's got totally delivered of drugs, alcohol, suicidal tendencies, everything. And he's living a really wonderful, fruitful life. Mm-hmm.